Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
And let's go live to AccuWeather's World Headquarters, meteorologist Heather Zehr. What a night in the region, Heather, with wind gusts that we had measured at 71.3 miles per hour at Pittsburgh International.
That's right, and that is their third strongest wind of all time, behind 83 miles per hour back in 1992 and 75 miles an hour more recently in 2020. So, yeah, that just doesn't happen very often.
Heather, so for me, when I looked out the window last night and saw the trees bending over, and I thought, you know, this reminds me of what it looked like in New Orleans and Jacksonville during tropical weather, like hurricanes, for example.
Right. I mean, that kind of wind, that is hurricane-force winds, or at least approximately so. Certainly the 79 miles per hour that was recorded in Latrobe, that certainly was hurricane force. So, I mean, it's tropical levels of wind.
That said, a quiet day, we get that. It'll help with the cleanup, but we're looking at tomorrow for the potential of additional storms in the afternoon.
Right. So, yeah, unfortunately, we do have a chance for another round of severe weather. Now, it's unlikely that we will see the same level of damage. We are calling this here at AccuWeather a derecho, as it did have in a very long stretch, hundreds of miles of wind damage along it. This time around, when we're talking here for a couple of days from now, we're still talking about a possibility of damaging wind gusts and hail, as well as flooding downpours, but it's more of the variety of severe weather that we're used to.
Appreciate the update. Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
All right. Heather Zehr, meteorologist at AccuWeather. Coming up next, we're going to check in with former KDK-TV political analyst John Delano. Larry Richard with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen, and we spent the early morning hours, like you, going through the details of the damage, which has been widespread. And as you just heard with meteorologist Heather Zehr, some of the more severe weather we've had in a long time in the region, Paul. You mentioned that wind speed and the one in Latrobe, that was hurricane force winds. And the damage, most of the damage was done right at the beginning of the storm.
Yes, it was brief, and I think that's a good thing, because the longer it was going to blow at those levels, the more likely it would have been people would have been injured by flying debris.
That's a very good point. So that said, we'll keep you posted, and as Paul reported, we'll be getting reports from Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey, who's going to hold a press conference this morning in just a couple of hours, as is Allegheny County Executive Sarah Inamorato. And the cleanup efforts, Pittsburgh Public Schools closed, and a bunch of schools followed suit in delays. We have the entire list at kdkradio.com.
When you consider the number of roads that are blocked by fallen trees or just debris, Larry, and the number of power lines that are down that have yet to be addressed, it's simply a safety matter for the students at schools.
Joining us is John Delano, recent retiree, but a political analyst I know who can't stop paying attention to what's going on in the world. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. And boy, it's a tough morning for a lot of folks.
Yeah,
power's still out in my neck of the woods, no power on, and it's tough. And people at Pittsburgh, people always hunker down together, and that's a good thing. And I think we see that now, but it's taking longer than most people would like to see things back to normal. That's for sure.
Well, that's a good point. And it's hard to ask people to be patient, but you have to with the level of devastation. It's going to take those teams a while. What, over 400,000 people without power at one time? I don't ever remember that.
We just heard from Duquesne Light that they had 20,000 separate hazard reports as of last night. Those all have to be gone through by utility crews before that they can move forward with restoration in those areas.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's understandable because you clearly want to take care of things that are public safety risks, and not just to the public, but to the workers themselves, the people who are dealing with the power outages and trying to restore them. But nonetheless, it's very difficult on homeowners and others and folks who have things in their refrigerators and freezers. And, there's just thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars tied up when something like this happens. And it's not always, you're not always going to get recompense for that.
No, that's a very good point. So a lot of people will have to throw out a lot of food, and the expense of replenishing that can be significant if you're a family, for whatever. So that said, also wanted to check in with you because we're airing a special tonight from News Nation, and it's hosted by Chris Cuomo and Stephen A. Smith, of all people, and Bill O'Reilly, and special appearances by RFK and Donald Trump, and it's about the first 100 days. So, John, dial us back. This all started this kind of using the first 100 days as a benchmark with FDR, right?
Yes, indeed. And I think that was back in 1933. And I think it's fair to say that this has been the most consequential 100 days, first 100 days of a president since FDR. The media always likes to make a big deal out of the 100 days. And sometimes we say things that are not always accurate about those 100 days as being not much of an accomplishment for many presidents. But I think for Donald Trump, as it was for Franklin D. Roosevelt, he's done a lot. Whether it's what people want is a big, big question. We all know that what FDR did, people wanted, because we were in the midst of a depression and he lifted everybody's spirits, and by showing very strong government action in a host of areas, he was able to kick the economy and get people at least feeling good about things. Not so true about Donald Trump. People have very strong opinions on whether what he's done has been helpful or harmful, and you can ask yourself the question, are we better off today than we were in January? If you've got a 401k, an IRA, or retirement plan, you sure as heck have not done very well. In fact, you've lost 20%, 10 to 20% of your value. Now, it may come back, who knows, but the bottom line is you're not better off today than you were. On the other hand, if you favored some of the things that Donald Trump has ran on, tariffs, for one thing, he's clearly shown action on tariffs. Again, there's a consequence to it, but he's doing exactly what he said he would do. He's trying to abolish the Department of Education. Now, that, of course, is very controversial, and it ultimately requires an act of Congress, but he's doing exactly what he said he would do. He doesn't believe in federal emergency help for states. That may be of consequence in Pittsburgh. We don't know yet. But the fact is that he is denying federal aid to states like Arkansas and others because he believes that the states should take charge of their own rescue efforts and not the federal government. So, I can go through a list of things that Donald Trump promised that he has, primarily through executive order, has tried to deliver on. But the fact that he's doing something that is consequential is what makes him stand out, just as FDR stood out in 1933.
We're with John Delano. John, you have a few more minutes. Can I check
Sure,
back?
Of course.
We'll check
of
traffic
course.
And the weather next and more with John Delano on the first 100 days.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's 8:20 on News Radio KDKA from the Goldberg Persky and White News Desk. Paul Rasmussen.
People across the region are picking up the pieces after Tuesday evening's destructive and deadly weather. We'll have the latest coming up at 8:30 on The Voice of Pittsburgh. News Radio KDKA.
This is the Big K Morning Show. A lot going on. We'll keep you posted. We were here bright and early. School closings and delays. Pretty unusual for late April, but it happened today. And we'll continue to bring you the latest on the storm cleanup now and what might happen with another round of thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon. Meanwhile, big show tonight on the Big K, and we have from News Nation a special hosted by Chris Cuomo, Stephen A. Smith, Bill O'Reilly, and appearances by RFK and President Donald Trump. The first 100 days, John Delano, formerly KDK TV's political analyst, and what you did, John, in terms of your analysis of the politics, and with that comes financial issues, too. And as you know, a lot of people kind of chomping at the bit now to know, okay, when's this turnaround coming where we're going to have more money, less inflation? There's so much uncertainty in this first 100 days.
Well, I think that's exactly right, Larry. The uncertainty is what is causing the market to be so skittish and to lose so much value that basically cost 62% of Americans money in the stock market, in their pension plans, their IRAs, their 401ks, all of the. It's amazing how many Americans are now invested in the stock market. It used to be a small percentage, so people wouldn't care. But now a majority, clearly a majority of Americans has something in the stock market because the private sector, for the most part, no longer has pension plans. They have 401ks and IRAs and other forms of saving, and that is very dependent on what Wall Street's doing. And when Wall Street is concerned because they can't figure out what this president means one day to the next, particularly with respect to tariffs, then the market plummets, and that's exactly what's happened. Now, it's come back a little bit, but it's got a long ways to get back to where it was in the last days of the Biden administration. So when you draw those comparisons financially, there's concerns. There's also questions with respect to unemployment and what's happening. We know a lot of federal workers are getting laid off, but we don't know yet what the impact of this tariff regimen is going to mean in terms of American jobs. I know what the president's goal is, which is long-term, to bring back manufacturing in the U.S., to make it easier to make things in the U.S., because they won't get taxed, whereas things made out of this country do get taxed. And that's the whole notion behind his tariff plan. But it's a notion that a lot of economists are very skeptical of. And so I think we're going to, it may be just wait and see time on a lot of this. I do think the other issue, the whole question of inflation, is when inflation was terribly high during COVID and then came down has been coming down since. But it hasn't come down as much as people want. And I think there's not much difference between January and April, frankly, between Biden and Trump yet on inflation. And again, that's another wait and see kind of thing. I think in the end, though, it's the economy that people are going to judge this president on, just as they judged Joe Biden and so many others in the past. And so talk about the cultural issues and the social issues, and that gets a lot of attention. A lot of people are very unhappy about a lot of things, and some people are quite ecstatic about some of the executive orders of the president. But in the end, I think he and most presidents get judged on the economy and how we individually feel in our own families about our state of affairs. And I'm not sure. To me, it's a big question mark. I know that tonight on the show, the president's going to say how wonderful he is and how great everything is. And they all say that and they all claim that. But I think that the jury is still out. The verdict is out.
Especially after you have the first 100 days of a second term that didn't consecutively follow the first. So there was, starting in 2016, that first 100 days compared to this one.
Yeah, I'm not sure people can even remember the first 100 days of the president's first term.
No.
And that kind of goes to the point I made, is that most people don't remember the 100 days of any of these presidents. But I do think Donald Trump stands with FDR as having consequential first 100 days. Now, consequential doesn't mean good or bad. It just means that we paid attention. So we're always going to know that something really happened during those first 100 days.
John Delano, appreciate you jumping on today. A most unusual situation after the storm.
It is,
but
really, and how about, if I may, just a word out to our folks and our first responders, because this has been a tough time for them, and they're still responding all across the region. And I think we ought to keep saluting them for what they're doing. And we might as well include all the power folks, too, who are part of this, because they in this case, they have to be first responders in order to get our power back on. So just salutations to all of them and thanks.
Yeah, and keep in mind, a lot of those power workers are doing that work in the height of a storm system. You know, they jump into action right away. So at least they got
an overnight in the dark.
Yes, and at least they got a break on the weather to continue that process today. John, thank you, brother. Hope you get power soon. You got to get out of the attic.
It's not a good place to be when the power's out, I'll tell you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
You guys.
Take care. John Delano on the Big K Morning Show. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. And the number one question I'm getting, Paul, and I'm sure it's on everybody's minds, when am I getting my power back?
It's going to be a while.
Yeah.
And there may be people getting their power back
in days, not hours.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that. And the reason for it is when you have 20,000 separate hazard reports that the utility crews have to clear those, and all of the dangers that they're facing with the downed wires.
Right.
It's going to take some time. And the order of which they do things is individual homes are at the very bottom of the priority list for restoration, along with small neighborhoods. And it's the major circuits that they're going to be working on third. The first thing to take care of is public safety hazards, and that would be these 20,000 hazards I'm talking about.
Yeah, so to reiterate, you're saying that those 20,000 hazards are first priority for obvious reasons before they can get to the other practical parts of reconnection.
And that is why the numbers are not going down as rapidly as they would, as they have in the past. We're still stuck around 300,000 outages in the region.
I told a friend of mine who's a Pittsburgh native who is works for the government in Colorado Springs, just texted me. He goes, did I hear right that it was over 400? Could have been closer to 500,000. That's unheard of in this region. Nobody has heard of that many people being without power in this region at any one time.
Well, and we're also talking about a storm at the end of April here. This is not a July, August kind of a thing, right?
866-391-1020. If you have something to report, we'd like to hear from you. 866-391-1020. That said, when is the last time at the end of April due to some thunderstorms that we had all these schools close, including Pittsburgh Public, North Allegheny, and a bunch delayed, too?
Yeah, you're right. Normally, when we have storms like this, school is out.
Good point.
They're not going to classes.
But typically, and if you look southwest of here, April is very active in places like Tornado Alley or out west, right?
By the way, I think this is just based on looking at the Penn power outage map, which when I woke up this morning was just covered with symbols saying where there was power outages. There was hardly a part of western Pennsylvania that wasn't lit up with some kind of symbol. But from what I could see, the heaviest numbers, or at least the most widespread power outages, were to our west and south here in Pennsylvania, and then just across the state line into Ohio. And I'm going to be interested to hear what kind of storm reports we get and damage reports we get from those areas as the day goes on.
Oh, to your point, I'm looking at that now. It's
right.
Yeah, you can't even
see the markings for the counties.
No, it's completely covered. So we'll take some calls. We'll give you updates and bring you the latest on the Big K Morning Show.
From the Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk, last night on the South Side.
No, I've never seen this much damage. I've been in here 55 years, and I've never seen it like that, like this.
Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey surveying damage in just one of the 90 neighborhoods of the city. And, Paul, we expect to hear from the mayor in the 10 o'clock hour.
And I would not be surprised to find out that 90% of those 90 neighborhoods have some kind of storm damage, Larry.
I would guarantee it.
Fortunately, we did have repeated warnings yesterday morning about rough weather.
Right now, we're looking at all kind of hazards being a potential damaging wind,
National
fog, hail, and maybe even a tornado.
National Weather Service meteorologist Jason Frazier, who really talked about all the details, and the only part of that we didn't get was large hail.
And in terms of the cleanup, if you're dealing with downed trees, make sure you know what you're doing, or better yet,
whatever area you are in, there's a tree service, local tree service. So make the call and do the right thing and get it done professionally.
Yeah, the danger, as Carlos points out, any tree leaning on wires is obvious, or you might not see the wires through the trees, or leaning on your home or property, get a professional to at least evaluate it.
And really, unless there are sparks flying, there's no way to tell if a down power line is live. You just stay away.
Right. And unfortunately, a man lost his life on the Southside Slopes last night because of that. We'll continue to keep you updated here. Also, in our next hour, we'll check in with Marty, who's been reaching out around the region to get the damage survey, and 866-391-1020 if you want to reach out to us. Check out The Drive at 5. These are the top stories weekday afternoons that are driving the news every day with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. And during Colin Dunlap's show yesterday is when the storms hit, Paul. And it was a situation where so many people from so many parts of the region were checking in. You actually couldn't keep up. The damage, the trees down. My daughter saw near this gymnastics gym called Jewart's. This is near North Park. There were some transformers that are along the roadway there. She saw it, believed, hit by lightning, and her three boxes that blew up and caught fire and started burning. Now, I don't know what it takes to replace something like that, but that's one example.
Yeah, that's one. I would imagine we'll hear from Duquesne Light later this morning at the news conference being hosted by the mayor. I think we'll hear from the utility that they're asking people to come help from surrounding areas.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're on their way right now.
100%. From other states, potentially.
Right. West Virginia, Ohio, Maryland, maybe even New York.
Yeah, there will be, I'm sure, additional crews. These guys work when a situation like this occurs, and this is rare. I mean, I've lived here all my life. I don't remember ever hearing close to 500,000 people being without power.
No, and the utility says that their crews are working around the clock right now. At some point, those people need rest. A tired person who's working in a dangerous environment can be injured or killed.
By the way, that said, if you have power, consider yourself lucky.
Right.
'Cause I'm getting text after text from friends. I don't have any power. Hey, Larry, do you know someone at Duquesne Light? Yeah, put the right word in. Yeah,
yeah. You know, the areas that seem to have escaped that I'm aware of right off the bat are Moon, for example, and up in southern Butler County, there's a fair number of people with power. But in spots all over the city, I mean, it's hard to find a place on the map, on either the Penn Power or the Duquesne Light maps, hard to find a spot where there are not outages in some areas.
Well, in the North Hills, there's a Chick-fil-A on one side of the road, and across is Giant Eagle Market District and a Pleasant.
Sheets, yeah,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, Sheets.
Yeah.
Now,
it's at the intersection with Campbell.
Village of Pine,
Road, yeah.
They had power. Across the street, nobody had power.
Exactly.
And this is it's kind of hodgepodge.
On our way into work this morning, I don't know what you saw on McKnight. I know on the Parkway North, there were areas that were completely dark on the way in. Then you'd get the lights above and on the bridges, and then bang, nothing again until I got to downtown. And I could see that all the lights were on in the Golden Triangle. So I said, well, maybe there's hope for us being up and running. I was really delighted to see the lights on up here when I pulled up the drive.
Yeah, otherwise we'd be doing a show on our phone to ourselves. Paul and I would have our own show to nobody.